Galatians chapter 1. We started in Galatians a while back, and I'm really enjoying this study because when I go through a book, I always learn probably more than anybody I teach. But even when you're familiar with a book, if you go and study it verse by verse, there's always a lot to be gleaned. And I want to start in verse 11 tonight. And, you know, as we study this tonight, I want you to keep in mind the verse that we start with, because really, even though Paul delves off into some other things about where he went and what was happening right after he got saved, I think all of that is to support his position and support the idea to those that he's writing to that the gospel he preached was not after man. He says in verse 11, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And as I was studying this afternoon, I thought about, I've heard all different opinions and ideas about what Paul says there in verse 6 when he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. I believe it's entirely possible that Paul is referring not to necessarily pagan teachings and so forth, but those that were preaching the gospel of the kingdom prior to him and had were still stuck in that doctrine of the law, like we read over in Acts chapter 15. And we'll be looking at that tonight. But anyway, keep that in mind as we go through this, because the whole content of the last verses 11 through 18 or 19, well, really the rest of the chapter from 11 down are things that Paul are saying in relation to the fact that he received his revelation directly from the Lord. And as we were, I was thinking about that in light of what we talked about this morning. Why would that make a difference if Paul is preaching the same thing that Peter preached? It wouldn't, would it? I mean, why would Paul try to distinguish himself from the 12 or from what they're teaching if they're teaching the same thing? If they're preaching the same gospel Paul's preaching, why would he try? Why would he make a big deal about receiving what he received of the Lord? He says in verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So we see there that Paul, we looked last week at verse 16, that's where we finished, and he's talking about the fact that God revealed or saved him to reveal his son in him, among the heathen. He already had 12 apostles that were going to the nation Israel. And as Israel, as a nation, repented and got saved, they were then to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But since that did not happen, since there was that rejection by the nation Israel, God saved a separate apostle and made him the apostle of the Gentiles. And the purpose is that he might preach him, the Lord Jesus Christ, among the heathen. And he said, in order to do that, I did not confer with flesh and blood. That would include the 12. That would include anybody else that was preaching at that time. Then in verse 17, he again makes a statement that confirms that. He didn't just throw this in here to give you a geographical position of where he was, is what I'm getting at. He says there in verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. You see, He didn't need to go up there and ask for their permission, ask for their approval, or seek out instruction from them. So he says, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. The idea is that Paul, when he says, neither went I up to Jerusalem, was that he did not go there immediately. We know later he did go. He didn't go there to consult with the apostles. He didn't go there to be instructed by them in regard to the nature of his ministry or what he should preach. And I think the real purpose in this statement by the Apostle Paul is to show that in no way, in no sense, did he derive his commission from men. He did not derive his gospel from that which others were preaching. He was separate and distinct. He said, to them which were apostles before me, neither went up to Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before me. Well, who were some of the apostles? Well, the 12 were apostles. After Acts 2, they had 12 apostles there. And what Paul is showing is that even though he did not consult with them, and he says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, he's indicating that he himself is an apostle. In other words, he was an apostle at that time, in time past, but he is now an apostle. They were, he acknowledges, apostles before him. But just because they were apostles and had the authority bestowed on them by God, what Paul wants people to see is that even though he didn't receive his revelation and his instruction directly from the Lord in human form, he received it from the Lord in heaven. I want you to hold on here and go back in Matthew chapter 16 where we were this morning. Verse 8, yeah, you're right. We talked a lot about that when we was looking at Joseph Smith and his angels and all of that kind of stuff. Matthew 16, notice the authority, and this is really, I think about these verses often when I think about the fact that you get over to Acts chapter 15, and you don't read another word in the book of Acts about Peter. Now think about that in light of what Jesus Christ tells Peter here in Matthew chapter 16. And we read this morning, so I won't go through all of it. But he says in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That church was being established in Jerusalem. It was the church of God. It's called the church of God. It was made up of Jews. It was made up of those that believe the gospel of the kingdom. He says, and now notice in verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the picture there is that Peter was given the authority to be God's representative upon the earth. Now, these are the verses that the Roman Catholic Church uses to vindicate the idea that a person would have to go to a priest to get forgiveness of sins. I know there are Catholics that don't believe that, but for years, the Catholic Church taught, and that's what confession was all about, but they taught that there was only forgiveness through the priest. That was, and by the way, they said that Peter The Apostle Peter was the first pope. And every pope that came after him followed in the teachings of Peter, and that he had the power to remit sins and to loose people and to bind people sins. And that's the authority that Peter had. Now, you see in Paul's ministry how different that is, because Paul is ministering the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is not interested in loosing or binding or anything else. Paul is there to proclaim the good news. Well, Peter had received that specific ministry that was not only given to him, but passed down to others as well. And so back in Galatians 1, when Paul says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, he's emphasizing that because of the fact that he wants people to know that he is an apostle, but he was not looking unto them for his instruction. And he's saying this to guarantee them. It's almost like a statement of on a witness stand or something. Listen, I didn't preach what they preached. Matter of fact, I didn't even go up there and meet with them. How could I preach what they were preaching? How could I be followers of them when I never even went to see them? I received from the Lord a revelation, and I acted upon that. So in verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, we don't know all the time frame in it. We know that it was at least 3 years. But I want you to hold on here and go back to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It's interesting that Peter does not record in Acts the movements of Paul, his goings about, as Paul mentions there in Galatia, or in Galatians. Notice in Acts chapter 9, well, I'll get there in a minute. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put in his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Now, there's all kind of speculation and debate about when was Paul in Arabia? Where do those 3 years fit? It's not mentioned here anything about the 3 years. I read one commentary that suggested that when he says in verse 19, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And you'll remember now that there were no numbers on the verses when they were written down. It's simply an account. And so after that statement, the next phrase is, then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. The thinking of the commentator I read, I don't remember which one it was now. It's one of those on my computer. He says that there's a possibility that between strengthened and then were the 3 years. But we don't know. And so we're not going to, I mean, there's no reason to debate over it or argue about it. What we do know is that what Paul said in Galatians is that after 3 years, he said, I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, we know that Arabia had significance in the Bible, and I'm not going to go through the verses tonight just for time's sake. But Arabia is where Moses saw the Lord. Jesus Christ was there. And so I don't know, but we know, he says, I went into Arabia, returned again to Damascus, then after 3 years. So Paul had already been saved known the gospel and been preaching it for 3 years before he went up to Jerusalem. That's a long time. 3 years. That's significant, I think, because the ministry of Jesus Christ upon this earth was 3 years. But after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem, and he says, to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, we don't know everything that went on up there, but we're going to read about some of it. But to me, again, the time frame there is that if Paul is preaching, and it indicates that he was during that 3 year period, and whether he was in Arabia, whatever was going on in Arabia. By the way, Arabia is not the Arabia as we see on the map today. And there's no way of knowing what part of Arabia Paul went to. And there's nothing written about his journey there, which tells me that kind of stuff is on a need-to-know basis. And apparently we don't need to know because the Lord didn't tell us. But we do know that it was 3 years. And that was long enough that Paul could verify that what he was preaching, he didn't receive it from the 12. He didn't receive it of man. He said, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. And by the way, this idea that James was a bad guy or he was a reprobate and that kind of thing, Paul identifies him here as an apostle because he says, none of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Well, then he was an apostle. And he was the Lord's brother. And then in verse 20 he said, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now, why would he make a statement like that? Apparently, somebody was accusing Paul of not being truthful. Somebody was accusing Paul of being deceptive. And so when he writes to these Galatians, you see, all of this seems totally unrelated to him preaching what the gospel like he started dealing with in the first part of the chapter. And so one of the reasons I wanted to teach this was because it really ties in so well with 2 Corinthians, because if you remember, I don't know how many times I mentioned it, but it was almost every week in the Corinthians, there was somewhere we were reading in there where he was vindicating and defending his apostleship as being authentic and real and of the Lord. And that's the thing that Paul confronted. You see, Peter and James and John, they had the 12 there that kind of had each other's back. Paul, because of the revelation he received, was kind of out on this island. And there were those that were accusing him of not being truthful. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the church of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Now, I wanted to get down to verse 23, and we'll wrap up with this in just a few minutes. But when he says he persecuted the church, the faith which he once destroyed, people look at that, and I believe this is one of the things that David addressed last Sunday morning. But there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. Because people assume that when Paul says he destroyed the he preached the faith which once he destroyed, they assume that the faith there has to do with the gospel of Christ and so forth. But that's not the case at all. What is the faith that Paul is talking about there that he preached that he once destroyed? Look at back in Acts chapter 9 again. Acts chapter 9. In Acts 9, Ananias is speaking to Paul. He says, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Look down in verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Then in verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and he believed not, and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, when you read those verses, it ought to make you realize exactly why Paul is saying what he says in Galatians 1. They're accusing him of not being a disciple, not being an apostle. In verse 26, when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he said he'd join himself to disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Then look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we read there, remember, a very important verse, verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. You see, what people many times don't want to see or fail to see or refuse to see is that when Paul makes these statements like he destroyed the he preached the faith that he once destroyed, that doesn't mean he preached repent and be baptized, remission of sins. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. And he said, that foundation is Jesus Christ. Peter and Paul both preached that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They both preached that he died on a cross. They both preached that he was raised again the third day. Now, they preached different things as in relation to that resurrection. Peter said he was raised up to sit on the throne of David. Paul said he was raised for our justification. And he was raised according to my gospel, Paul said. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you get down to verse 4 where he gives the gospel. And the rest of the chapter is about resurrection. And about how the church, the body of Christ, can look forward to leaving the earth without even dying, the catching away. But in verse 5, he says, verse 4, and he was buried, he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaining of those present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Now notice, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his gross grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, what did the resurrection of Jesus Christ prove? It proved that he was God. It proved that he was the Son of God. The foundational truth for all that Paul preached was Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and him being the Son of God. That's the foundation upon which Paul built. That's the same foundation upon which Peter built, but the foundation has to do with not just who Christ was, but what was said about him. And Paul said in the chapter here, in verse 4, he says how that Christ died for our sins. I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see, the mystery was not that Christ was going to die. I see all this argument about, what Paul taught was in the Old Testament. Well, the death, burial, and resurrection is in the Old Testament. But the truth of that and the significance of it to us in this dispensation was not in the Old Testament. Because there was nothing in the Old Testament about people like you and I being saved. There was people that were blessed in Israel that were Gentiles that could be saved. But there was nothing about us being saved. Somebody mentioned this morning that so many times when people quote 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, they talk about how that Christ died for sins. No, that's not the good news. The good news is Christ died for our sins. Paul wrote to Timothy and said he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So when Paul says, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believed, what were they both preaching? They were both preaching the resurrection. That's the whole context. The very next verse, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? What were both groups preaching? Resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of Christ. That's the faith that Paul had destroyed. And when Paul got saved, he built upon that faith, which was the foundation for all that Paul taught. And he built upon that the truth of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, having paid for all of our sins and having it accessible to people who were never in the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. So when Paul says over there, I preach the faith which I once destroyed, he's absolutely right. But that's not the gospel of Christ. That's the truth of resurrection. That's the truth of Christ being the Messiah. And when Paul went into a synagogue, you can be assured that the first thing he had to establish was who Christ was. Because when Paul went into a synagogue, until they believed that, there was no need to tell them he died for their sins, because the only one that could die for sins was the Son of God. All right, I'm going to stop there for tonight, and we'll begin chapter 2 next week. Anybody got a question or a comment?